The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Lots to cover this morning. Of course, the big news from Fox News yesterday with the exit of Tucker Carlson. We'll dive back into that and some of your phone calls and questions on that, along with CNN's announcement that longtime host Don Lemon, or Lemon as Tucker liked to call him, also made an exit from CNN yesterday. And of course, just a few minutes ago this morning, President Joe Biden made the announcement that he is in fact running for re-election. We expected that, but he released about a 3-minute campaign video this morning. We'll share some of the details with you on that as well. We're in the final weeks of the South Carolina legislative session as members of the General Assembly are scurrying around, you might say, trying to get some last-minute things done. On our guest line this morning, South Carolina Senator Josh Kimbrell. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, Joey. Doing well. I'm a little in shock after watching the 3-minute diatribe of Joe Biden's reelection campaign. Other than that, great. Doing well.
Well, you know, I guess that's how you run a modern-day presidential campaign, huh? You shoot a quick video and you release it on social media. It's my understanding that's sort of going to be his strategy, because they've already called off any potential debates among Democrat candidates. So I guess that's all we're going to get from Joe Biden.
Well, I mean, look, they can't put him out there to do a off-the-cuff remark. He can't do that. So I mean, you basically, his entire presidency has been extremely choreographed. There's very few comments that are off the cuff, very little information provided. And this isn't surprising they would do it in a video, because that's about the only way they're going to be able to make it look okay, look yep. good. I mean, most people watch this and realize he is a cognitive disaster. When you string it together in a highly edited Tinseltown quality video, it looks like, gosh, this guy's really got it going on, until you realize it's probably took 45 takes to get to that point, and and everything in the video is just a bunch of talking points. There's nothing in there.
Yeah.
About the fact we're going through the highest inflation in 40 years, anything like that, just a bunch of left-wing talking points.
He talks about freedom a lot. He fails to mention that he has taken away more of our freedoms than any recent modern-day president in history. You talked about how many takes it took for him to complete that. You know, probably some of the best footage is what we'll never see. Are some of the gaffes and some of the retakes, because I bet it did take him a while to get that done.
I would love to see the outtakes of that. And, you know, yeah. And you're right, he did talk about freedom a lot. Here's the crazy part. The hypocrisy now, they're not even trying to hide it anymore. I mean, all we heard about the first 2 years of this guy's term was how January 6th was an insurrection. Now, look, I don't think January 6th was good. None of us have defended that. But it wasn't equivalent to 9/11, as they've tried to portray it. And then whenever a bunch of lawmakers in Tennessee go in and rant and rave and try to burn, not burn the place down literally, but like just melt down the debate, that's supposedly okay. And yeah. The double standard is just staggering. It's really amazing the hypocrisy we're witnessing in full bore.
That earned them an invite to the White House, yet the victims of those families, they weren't invited to the White House.
Yeah, that's right. None of them were invited, just... Again, everything he's doing everything he can to stoke division, to try to divide Americans so he can win an American election. And I think that's the Democratic playbook. Let's divide everybody into easily identifiable demographic subgroups and see if we can use that pitting against each other to win elections. It's a very bad strategy. It reminds me of a JFK quote, "Those that ride the back of the tiger for power will soon find themselves instead." Yeah. They ought to take a page out, because what they're doing, this stoking of division, is not going to end well for America. Forget which party. It's not going to end well for the country.
Yep. Yep. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, I watched a clip yesterday of RFK, And there was a poll that was released. I don't remember if it was the NBC poll or another poll that showed that RFK has already gained like 14% of the support in just a matter of a week or so.
No, it'll be interesting to see if that, what happens with that. I mean, they're trying to paint him as a nut, and that somehow he's some fringe candidate. Honestly, he's a lifelong Democrat. I mean, it's not like he's not part of their party. To me, this reminds me of the 1980 campaign all over again. You've got a president who's weak domestically and internationally, just like Carter was, who's being challenged from within his own party by Kennedy, because Carter was, by Ted Kennedy. And now Biden's being challenged by RFK Jr. And then you're going to have a Republican nominee who's going to come in with a positive message about tamping down inflation, rebuilding the military, strengthening the economy. And I think that I think it's going to be a landslide. As long as we get it right on our side, we don't have a bunch of infighting, it'll be a landslide election. It'll be like 1980 for Carter's reelection going down in flames. I think the same will happen with Biden.
Yep. It's going to be interesting to watch. And that's why our work is more important than ever, to see that Joe Biden does not get to hang around for another 4 years, for sure. You guys in Columbia, what is it, a fair description when I say that y'all are scurrying around down there these last few weeks trying to get some
more? That's what usually happens, is what are you going to do at the end? Now that the budget's over, we'll have budget reconciliation between the House and the Senate. There'll be a conference committee appointed. We'll have to go back and deal with that later. But the budget has now passed both chambers, so I think that's over. So now it's how many bills can we actually pass that have already made crossover that both chambers can actually vote on this year? And there's some high priorities. I would tell you the highest priority, in my opinion, is getting the abortion rate down. Yeah. And we got a few days to do it. Today, the Senate's going to take up the Human Life Protection Act in the House. And but I want to be very clear with your listeners on where we are. I've talked to you about this before, you and I, and I have always supported the HLPA, and I support a protection of human life from conception with certain limited exceptions, rape, incest, life of the mother, those kind of things, which are included in the bill. The problem is we have about six Republicans who have not gone along with us on this in the Senate. The majority of the Republican caucus has, and the majority of the Senate as a whole has. Because 24 Republicans, we have voted for a life at conception legislation. Certainly, I've been one of those supporters, and I was a co-sponsor. But we've lost six votes. And I know people say, well, gosh, you still got the majority. In the Senate, you got to overcome a filibuster, and you got to be able to get enough votes to shut down debate. We don't have that right now. And I've tried to make that point to the House. And, Representative McCravey, I think, believes we have the votes. Respectfully, we don't. And I've tried to push them. I'm trying to whip those votes. I don't think we're going to get there. I think you'll see this week a majority of the Senate vote for the Human Life Protection Act again. But it probably won't be enough to overcome a filibuster that I expect from Sandy Sand or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then we need the House to take up the bill we passed earlier in the year and try to get a heartbeat bill fix sent back to the state Supreme Court. We did change the court. You know, I was really instrumental, thank God, in being involved in that debate and helping get Gary Hill on the state Supreme Court. He's a conservative constitutionalist. And I believe with the fixes we've made to the heartbeat bill we passed earlier this year in the Senate, if the House passes that, it'll go into effect. We can save a lot of lives and stop being an abortion destination state. So this week's critical. I'm going to do all I can to get the Human Life Protection Act passed through the Senate. Miracles do happen. If we do somehow get enough votes and it passes, great. I don't expect that at the moment based on what I'm seeing in the chamber. I'll be surprised, but it could happen. And if it does happen, fantastic. If it doesn't, then we need the House to get back to action quickly, pass heartbeat before the year's over. Because if we get past Memorial Day and we don't pass either the Human Life Protection Act or the revised heartbeat bill, we're going to be an abortion destination state for the Southeast, particularly now that Governor DeSantis in Florida has signed a heartbeat bill there. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine what happens? We already have people from Georgia and North Carolina come into our state to get abortions because of our disagreements in the legislature and the court's action on this. And now you can have them driving from Florida. We'll have numbers that will be rivaling the 1990s abortion numbers in this state if we don't do something this week. And I would say that's priority number one.
Well, it's really surprising when you look at some of these numbers. I mean, truly, South Carolina has become an abortion destination. We have right now, as it stands, we have the least restrictive abortion laws in the Southeast, probably other than Virginia. But I was just really surprised. I guess I knew this, but just hadn't read it or hadn't seen it in black and white recently that I think these numbers were through March, 48% of the 1,969 women who received abortions came to South Carolina from another state. 48%. They're traveling here for their abortions.
No, that number is going to get higher. And here's the crazy part. We actually have more laws in the books than Georgia does or North Carolina on abortion. We have more. We're actually the most – we have more pro-life legislation than most states. The problem is our state Supreme Court got activist. And I ultimately blame Judge Few for that. He, you know, always said he was pro-life, and he wrote the controlling opinion, basically creating a state-level role. And now we've had to go fix that with getting Judge Hill on there. And I hope we got a conservative court now. I believe we do. We have to do something about the judicial activism. And we can all sit here and beat our chest and say, well, we passed, you know, between the House and the Senate. Well, we passed the most conservative bill. The House, you know, the House will say the Senate doesn't want to pass it, or vice versa. At the end of the day, the people of this state don't care which chamber did what. This time to bury the hatchet on the egos. We got to do something to bring the number down. And if I can get the Human Life Protection Act through the Senate with my colleagues, great. I'll be happy to do it. If we can't, then I certainly expect the House is not going to take the position. I hope they wouldn't. Of saying, well, you know, we did what we could. Senate can't get along with it, so we're just going to let the abortion rate stay at 1990 levels through the summer. That would be a tragedy. And there is a way out of this, Joey. There is. I mean, we got – my big belief is I go for the most conservative policy I can get. But you also have to – the key is to get it, right? So you can't always be in the position of making the perfect the enemy of the good. And the heartbeat bill, as we've passed it in the Senate, is good. It's not the best. The better bill is Human Life Protection Act, no question about it. But if we can't get it, I would rather get good versus nothing. And we've got to make sure that we stop letting people come here from every other state in the country, or at least the Southeast, and have abortions. I mean, that number is going to get worse. We've seen numbers that are higher now than any point since 1994, 1995. That number will get worse. As you pointed out, 48% of those abortions are by women coming in from out of state, and I think that number will get closer to 60% before we get to the 4th of July.
Yep. Well, it's going to be, and that starts today, right? You guys will start debate on that starts possibly today.
You know, I was supposed to go skydiving with the U.S. Army Golden Knights out of Fort Bragg. I was going to be in Fort Bragg to go skydiving with the Golden Knights. But, you know, human life's more important, so I canceled the plans, and I'm going to Columbia. So I'll be voting on abortion today.
Yep. All right. Well, that's let us know how things go today. We certainly will be watching this, as it is a very important issue. Senator Josh Kimbrough, always a pleasure. Be safe as you head to Columbia.
Thank you, Joey. Good to be with you.
Sure thing. Always a pleasure. 717 on the Morning Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.